All right. Right now, we are between two series this morning. We just finished up a series on Matthew and on Acts, and and in a couple of weeks, we're going to be going into a series on Acts. And one thing that we know about the events that are occurring in this time is that there's a lot of changes. There's a lot of changes that are happening in the faith of the apostles and the religion that they understand and that they know. One of these big changes is a shift from following the law to following faith and living by the Spirit. And we are going to be seeing this navigated by the apostles in the book of Acts. Now, for us here today, we live very firmly within the new covenant age. Okay? We are not bound by the law. We have never been bound by the law, and we're not going to be bound by the law because we are in the new covenant age. But that doesn't mean that the law doesn't have any value. The law has a great deal of value for us. That's part of the reason that we're going to learn in Acts that God writes the law on our hearts. Now, because of this value of the law for us, even though we're not bound to it, and because of what the apostles are going to be going through and navigating in the book of Acts, I thought it would be appropriate this morning to kind of dig into this covenant evolution. We're going to be spending quite a bit of time this morning in the book of Romans, starting in chapter 8, and we're going to work a little bit backwards to chapter 5, and then we're going to jump over to Galatians, okay, and I'll let you know when that's going to happen. But as we start, and as you guys are opening your Bibles, one thing we have to be perfectly clear on this morning. One thing needs to be fully understood, and that is that Jesus was fully God, and he was fully man. And he came to earth as a Jewish man who was living under the power of the law. Now, that law is the law of Moses. It has the moral law. It has the ritual law, the sacrificial law. The law as it pertains to the festivals, as well as any laws that were put out by prophets. Okay, this is the law that Jesus is living under. And he lived a perfect, sinless life under the power of this law. And because of that, he was the perfect sacrifice in order to fulfill all the requirements of that law so that we could move past it. And this had to happen. In Romans 8, verses 3 and 4, Paul writes that the law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. This was part of the law of Moses. The law requires justice. As human beings, we have a tendency to sin. It's shocking, right? We have a tendency to sin. We know this. And the law gives a provision for the Jewish people to atone for that sin and bring that relationship with God back into balance. But the law can only bring balance. It can't bring justification. The law can't bring salvation. Now, I'm not a very good artist, but I drew this little diagram, okay, to kind of illustrate the point, okay? Sin tilts the balance towards death, but then a sacrifice is made in order to restore that balance. Now, there is not a provision in the law that allows somebody to pay in advance, okay? Somebody can't bring two goats to the temple and sacrifice one for today's sins and one for tomorrow's. Now, that doesn't mean that there's something wrong with the law. Our legal system is no different. I highly doubt any of you have any desire to go to the courthouse tomorrow and pay for a speeding ticket that you've not gotten yet. Okay? And if any of you do, I promise they're going to look at you funny. This isn't a problem with the law. But Paul does say there's a trouble. And the trouble isn't with the law. The law is spiritual, and it is good. The trouble is with me, because I am all too human. I'm a slave to my sin. I don't really understand myself. I want to do what's right, but instead, I do what I hate. Paul's pretty clear here. The law isn't the problem. I'm the problem. My sinful nature that I tend to follow is the problem. And Paul is somebody who, in this case, is writing as a Jewish man who has lived under the power of the law. He understands it. He understands that when he sins, it tips towards death. And he has to make a sacrifice to get that balance. But Paul is also somebody who now is living by faith. But he's recognized something about his sinful nature. He's recognized just how evil our intentions can be, even when we want to be good, even when we want to do different. Our evil nature, or our evil sinful nature, can even distort the words of God's law. That's just how bad it gets. And Paul says, I would never have known that coveting is wrong if the law had said, you must not covet. That's the law telling us what our sin is. And this is a good part of the law. But sin used this command to arouse all kinds of covetous desires within me. If there were no law, no sin, or sin would not have that power. So there's a fight going on here. Because the law is right, the law is good, the law tells us what our sin is, but at the same time, our evil sinful nature can distort that law and actually lead us into the sin we're being commanded not to do. Now, I've got an illustration of this, and it's not a perfect illustration, but we'll go with it anyways. So when I was a kid growing up, we had a cookie jar on the counter. Okay? Some of you might know where I'm going with this already. Most of the time, that cookie jar sat empty on the counter. A good 85, 90% of the time, maybe even more, that cookie jar is empty, and I never messed with it because there was nothing there. And every once in a while, my mom would get some cookies or some treats, and she'd put them in the cookie jar. And then she'd tell me, there's treats in the cookie jar. Don't have any of them. You know? So me, being a sweet lover and loving anything with sugar in it, as soon as she tells me, don't go in the cookie jar, I know there's something in the cookie jar that I want, and I start to plan my heist, right? I start to plan to break the rule as soon as it is given. Now, if she hadn't told me that there was to stay out of the cookie jar, I would have actually stayed out of it. But that didn't change the fact that I'd eat just about anything with sugar in it, given any opportunity, regardless of, you know, how many rules I had to break in the house. But so that's my illustration, and it's not perfect, granted, but it does kind of get the point across. Now, does the law fall short? No, it doesn't. Now, from a new covenant perspective, where we sit today, some people would say yes, that the law falls short. And the thing about that is, we live in a new covenant that has a different purpose from the law. The new covenant offers salvation, it offers justification, where the law does not do that. That wasn't the purpose of the law. So what was the purpose of the law? Well, the law was given to us so that we could see how sinful we are. It's just that easy. The law was given to us so that we know we sin. Now, there is that evil, sinful nature that distorts it. But that's why we need a new covenant. The law is written on our heart. But even with the law written on our heart, even with the law of Moses intact, you know, in the time of Jesus, there was no human way. There is no human effort, and there still is no human effort that can bring us into a right relationship with God. To put it quite simply, we need help. We need Jesus. When we recognize that we are sinners through the law that's written on our heart, and we turn away from that sin, and we turn toward Jesus, and we trust him, and we put our faith in him, that faith turns into justification, turns into salvation, turns into a right relationship with God. And that's why Paul writes, "Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." We have faith, which brings us justification, that right relationship with God, and that gives us a peaceful relationship with God. When we turn away from our sins and trust Jesus, we have faith, bringing justification, bringing peace. And now we're going to move into Galatians chapter 3. Now, for those of you who are following along and flipping pages, I'm going to explain kind of why we're using both letters here. The reason I chose to use both letters is because they run parallel in this particular topic. But each book makes points that the other doesn't. And because of that, by using both, we can get a little bit better idea, a clearer picture of this topic, this idea of faith versus the law. So in Galatians 3:23 through 26, "Now before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith." It takes faith to make that right relationship with God. And I know you guys want to see more of my drawings. Okay? I know you do. This is the same drawing we already had. Okay, and I put it back up here because I want to talk about the discipline portion. Okay? When we sin, again, that tilts towards death. And the penalty, the consequence, the discipline for that sin is to either let the scale tilt or to make a sacrifice to bring back that balance. But the sin doesn't go away. The sin doesn't go away with the law. It just balances it out. Now here we have a new drawing. And this one is based on faith. And this faith relationship that we have with God, Christ's sacrifice fulfills every requirement of the law. And that cross, if we accept Jesus, that cross comes down on the right-hand side and tilts the balance towards life. And with that cross on the balance beam, on that scale, sin doesn't stick to it anymore. You'll notice there's no sin on that bar. We still make mistakes. We still screw up. We still sin. But it does not stick to that bar. The bar doesn't move. And the cross doesn't move. Now, there's probably something that I should tell you about my little drawings here. When I sat down and tried to come up with this illustration and thought about how I would illustrate it, I was trying to envision our relationship from God's perspective. And the reason I wanted to look at it from God's perspective is because from a human perspective, we can, at any given moment, feel like we're closer or further from God. Sometimes we sin and we have shame and we have guilt and we feel further from God. And other times we've got big spiritual victory and we feel really close to God and we feel really good about that relationship. We're subject to our emotions and we're not at peace sometimes because of that. But from God's perspective, because he knows our hearts, he sees what's truly in our heart. That cross doesn't move. That bar does not move. That is the peace. That relationship is at rest. It has total peace. And that's how God, I envision God viewing that relationship. Now, we're drawn into a little bit of a paradox at this point. We have two ideas that are seeming to compete with each other that work together. Because we have faith and because we love Jesus, we want to be more like Jesus. Well, Jesus was a Jewish man who followed the law. So if we want to be more like Jesus, we should be following the law. But we're not bound by the law. We're bound by faith. And so we can go back and forth over and over and over, trying to figure out faith or law. And unfortunately, when this happens, it turns into legalism. We end up with a list of do's and don'ts, things that we can do, things that we have to do, things that we can't do. And that's not right either. So Paul's going to help us out. And he's going to tell us to let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants you to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under the obligation of the law of Moses. And that word obligation is the important word written in that last sentence. There is no obligation to the law of Moses. There's no obligation to any law. When you choose to follow the Spirit and let the Spirit lead you. This is why Jesus sent his Spirit to dwell within us in the new covenant, so that we could be guided by the Spirit and no longer be bound to the law. And we know from seeing Peter around the time when Jesus is arrested that the human spirit might be willing, but our flesh is weak. I want to do what's good, but I do what I hate. That's what Paul wrote. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, all of us in this room who are Christ followers have the Spirit of God living within us. We all have that Spirit of God living within us, and when we have that Spirit of God, through our faith, and we love Jesus, we want to obey him. We want to love God. We want to love people. We want to go and make disciples. But sometimes we fall short. Sometimes we let our sinful nature get in the way. And Paul discusses this phenomenon in the second half of Galatians chapter 5. Now, before we get there, I just want to bring up again the first portion of what we read. Back in Romans chapter 8, Jesus lived as a Jewish man under the law. He was a perfect, sinless human being, and he was the perfect sacrifice, and he took the penalty. He took the judgment for all sin, for every sin ever committed from the beginning of time to the end of time for anybody who is willing to call on his name, who turns away from their sin and accepts the Spirit of God and gives their life to Jesus. So Paul says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, because now we have a choice with the Spirit within us, we have a choice to follow the Spirit or follow our sinful nature. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. It's a long, ugly list of sin. Now, we would generally refer to these sins as some of the least desirable behaviors that come out of us. Okay? These are the least desirable traits that I have. And we are imperfect. We live in a world full of sin, sickness, and disease. And when I try to control, because sometimes I do that, when I don't let the Spirit control, when I try to control, it usually winds up in something really close to what's on that list. And when that happens, it's the Spirit of God, the law that's written on my heart, that convicts me of my sin and reminds me that if I follow the Spirit can produce some pretty awesome things through me. Things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are all of the things that the Spirit can produce through us. And we recognize these a lot of the time as gifts from God. Now, I'm going to tell you, I have had a couple of opportunities to see the fruit of the Spirit manifest in a believer. And it is amazing. It is vivid. It is vibrant. It is unmistakable. The fruit of the Spirit pouring out of somebody, it is amazing. It's given me goosebumps just talking about it. Now, when I try and do that on my own, at worst, I end up on the other list. At best, at absolute best, any good thing that I can produce all on my own is just a shadow compared to what the Spirit can produce through me. Just a mere shadow. Now, this is how the law compares to faith. Any righteousness that can be gained through the law is just a shadow of what can be gained through faith in the new covenant, in the salvation. And I thank Jesus every day for the sacrifice that he made. That sacrifice that fulfills the requirements of the law, that sacrifice that took God's judgment for my sin away from me. Now, I could end here. I could wrap this all up in a nice little bow and ask Brad and Brenda to come back up and we'll sing another song. But, and I'll be honest, I almost did that. When I was writing this week, I almost did that. And then I got a prompt from the Spirit. And the Spirit says, no, there's one more issue. There's one more drawing. You see, the drawings from earlier, the drawing of the law, that doesn't apply to anyone in here. It never has, it never will. The drawing of the relationship based on faith, that applies to some of us in here. But what about those who haven't decided? What about the people who are living in this new covenant age that are not bound by the law but don't have faith? Well, this is what I got for them. This is the drawing for them, okay? You'll see the power of the cross is hovering over the bar. It hasn't come down yet. It hasn't caused the sin to be erased. But it's holding that bar in balance. The power of the cross, which is God's grace, holds the bar in balance, keeps that neutral status. And it does that so that if you don't yet have faith, you're not going to be overwhelmed by your sin. There's no way, there's no amount of sin that can be put on that bar to make it tip towards death. But this is not permanent. This is not a permanent position. This is not a permanent situation. And at one time, there will come a time when this scale has to tip one way or the other. Now, to put it simply, there's, as simple as possible, there's three things that are going to cause that bar to tip. When Jesus comes back, and he's coming soon. When Jesus comes back, if you have not yet made the decision to put your faith in Jesus, this bar's going to tip towards death. If you pass on from this earthly life without having made the decision to follow Jesus, that bar is going to tip towards death. The power of the cross, the grace of God, is removed. The only response, the only way that that cross comes down and that bar tips towards life is through Jesus, as by putting your faith in Jesus and choosing to follow him. Now, if this particular drawing describes your relationship with Jesus, and you're here this morning, and you are saying, you have this movement in your heart saying, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to make this change. I need to make this decision right now. It's amazing. I would love to be given the opportunity to pray with you and to rejoice with you through that decision. And I'll hang out up front after the service if you want to come and do that. If this describes your relationship with Jesus and you're still undecided, you still don't know yet, that's okay. But I would urge you to very soon start getting answers to your questions. Ask a trusted Christian friend. Start reading in the Bible. Pray to God. Even if you don't believe in God, you can pray to God. And if you're asking for wisdom and truth, he's going to give them to you, whether you truly believe in him or not. Or maybe this drawing doesn't apply to you. Maybe you're already a follower of Jesus, and that faith drawing is the one that applies to you, but you know somebody who's in this place. You know somebody who's living under this diagram. They have not decided. Well, then maybe, just maybe, today is the perfect day to start having that conversation with them about their eternity. And we do this not because of the law, not because of any requirement. We do this because we have the Spirit of God living within us. And because we love him, we want to follow his commands. And we do it because God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. Would you stand with me and pray?